Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beamish and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Right now it's time to talk to our friend, Mr. PFT Commenter. We're going to the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. PFT, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking the time with us.
Good morning, guys. How's it going? I'm still, my body is still recovering from slamming the big Giannis meal at Chick-fil-A two nights ago. It pickled me from the inside out, but I'm doing okay.
I saw that. What's it like eating 50 nuggets in one sitting?
Wait.
I wouldn't know because I only ate 36 because the fact is I didn't tell anybody.
Or attempting lunch, 50 nuggets.
Yeah. For lunch that day, I had 20 Chick-fil-A nuggets. It wasn't part of a challenge. I just wanted Chick-fil-A. And then I went into the office, and then I decided, hey, you know what? What if I ingest this three-chi cookie with Delta 8 THC in it, and then I get hungry again, and then I eat another 50 nuggets? And I actually had to stay over in the office two nights ago because my apartment was getting fumigated. New York City's great, by the way. I highly recommend living there. So I was sleeping on the couch, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to do this Chick-fil-A Giannis challenge. And I ate 36.
And you had already eaten 20 earlier?
I ate 20 earlier. Like
I think you got like there then.
Right. You ate 56.
Yeah, on aggregate, I ate 56 of them. And when I was eating the second batch, I just didn't feel like pushing my body to the limits. You know, I was doing it more just because I like eating Chick-fil-A and I wanted to see how many I could eat. There was nothing in it for me if I had finished, but I'll tell you the real great part about that meal is the combination of the lemonade and Sprite. It is the most refreshing drink in the world. I'm not sure why we haven't thought about doing that over here in America yet. It might be a Greek thing. I do know that ordering less ice in your drink or no ice can be a European thing. When I grew up, it was just because my dad was like, you get more soda that way. And we didn't have we weren't rich or anything. So he was just
I was taught the same way.
He was just get the most that you can out of your. He would get mad at me actually sometimes if I put ice in my drink because hey, that's 33% less soda that you're getting. But I think it's also a European thing to get less ice in it. But anyways, regardless of why he did it, it is a great treat. Like I'm going to be ordering that nonstop. But yeah, my body. I think last night after about 24 hours post attempting to crush the 50. I started to kind of feel like I was back to normal.
I'm glad you're feeling back to normal. I wonder how well I would do with the nugget challenge because I didn't even do that well with chicken wings. But as long as I have enough Chick-fil-A sauce, I can get through anything. I wanted to ask you.
We order 50 nuggets per person a day, Landfill. Let's find out if Landfill can do it, if JP can do it.
We'll find out. The big news of the day, at least kind of here and in Cleveland, is that the Indians came out and announced that their new team name is the Guardians. And without getting into a debate about what the new Washington football team name should be, I just point out that Cleveland was able to do this in a year, and they've made their announcement, and everybody's moving forward. Whereas Washington kind of continues to drag this out. Are you surprised Cleveland was able to move forward quicker? And do you think Washington should just pick a name and move?
Well, I think what you're seeing in Washington is it goes along with the fact that they've hired like every person that is working in the D.C. area for the last like year and a half. It's like every month they hire a new guy to like do something new there. And it's always kind of an ambiguous job title, but they're just collecting guys. I don't even know what all the guys there do anymore, but it's like every month Adam Schefter will put something out about, the Washington football team has just hired this person with experience in marketing and branding from this think tank or from this consulting firm. And so they're just collecting a bunch of guys. Anytime that you just get a bunch of dudes and ladies in a room and they all have a lot of power, they all have to feel like they're putting their two cents in. You know, like, you ever been in a meeting where there's maybe five or six too many people in there, and it's the simplest task that you have to accomplish. But since they're all in the room, they all feel like they have to earn their paycheck and come with differing opinions and get into arguments over minute stuff. I think that that's kind of what's happening in D.C. right now. And they don't want to screw it up. I think that there's probably like a little bit of it's kind of like an intimidating thing to do, to change an NFL team name, because the fact is everyone's going to hate it at first.
No matter what.
That's what you have to realize about these new team names. It's like it's not going to be like an in-the-moment victory. There's no such thing as a team name where everyone's going to be like, wow, yeah, they knocked that out of the park. You have to kind of give it a little bit of space and let it breathe. But I think it's a great thing that Cleveland came out with that team name and the logo with the baseball with sideburns, because it's going to make whatever the football team does look so much better than that, because it honestly does look like I just tweeted this out, a transformer that you would get on Christmas, like the year that your dad lost his job. It looks like a GoBot. I don't know what they were thinking with that one, but I do get the Guardians concept. I think what they're doing is like what the Toronto Raptors did a while back, when they're like, oh, people love Jurassic Park, let's name our entire sports team after them. They're doing that, but with Marvel movies. So they're just hoping that Guardians of the Galaxy, that it's going to be a very relevant thing in our culture, you know, 20, 30 years from now. So, yeah, you might as well just make that big tree that can't talk your mascot.
But see, that's the whole thing. And Cleveland won. I mean, Toronto the Raptors end up winning a championship. So I don't think people make fun of it anymore. And I think that's the ultimate thing. When you get a name, no one is going to like it 100%. But if you start winning, it starts to wear. They start loving it even more then. And I think that's the ultimate thing. So if you think you're going to – if you take all this time to try to say we're going to knock it out the park, you will fail.
Yeah. So it's kind of like what happened with the football team. Everybody made fun of the football team. And then they started winning games. Well, kind of. I guess they won some games, but they made the playoffs regardless. And then at that point, people are like, you know what? I'm kind of liking this football team name. Let's keep it around for a little bit and see how it fits. I don't know what the difference is. There's probably there's more equipment that needs to be changed with a football team than with a baseball team. I don't know why it's taking this much longer than Cleveland to do. Maybe Cleveland already had some of these plans in place. That's my best guess, because I know that Snyder was not going to change a team name. You can put that in all caps. And then last year, he felt the pressure, given the fact that he was going to lose some money and that the minority owners were going to walk out if the name wasn't changed, where he kind of had to rush into this decision. And it's very clear that he didn't have any contingency plans in place for when the team name changed. Whereas in Cleveland, I feel like they had a little bit more time to plan out doing this. And so they had probably some of these things that they had thought about doing. So that might explain why they were able to do it quicker than the Washington football team.
PFT, we had a caller call in and suggest the name Juggernauts. And much like the Wizards become the Wiz and the Capitals become the Caps, obviously the Juggernauts would become the Jugs. How would you think about merchandise that just said, I love the Jugs? I think it would sell like crazy.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You got the D cup, C cup, Jugs. I like that. I think that could work really well.
It wouldn't work for this team in the present state they're in right now.
You can't hold our cup. We love the Jugs.
Yeah. Show us the Jugs. Yeah, I think that would be a very appropriate name for a team that you would make in a video game.
Right. NFL Street or NFL Blitz. What was that old video game?
Oh, NFL Blitz, that was the best. That was, like, people would die on the field regularly in NFL Blitz. People were like, yeah, this is awesome. I love it. Can you imagine that video game coming out now?
No. No way.
And it was, Wasn't it? It was officially licensed by the NFL, too, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but, dude, it was the same league that had the jacked up segment before Monday Night Football. And, I mean, they used to, I remember as a kid, they would put out
the NFL greatest hits, all that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff.
They showed where people were paralyzed. They showed hits on that, seriously.
It was a different world.
But they said that they cared about the safety of the players.
They absolutely do. Roger, hats off to Roger Goodell. The best thing that's happened to Roger Goodell in the last year, I mean, obviously, like, the league lost money, and they had to take, like, numerous safety protocols in during coronavirus. But the fact that they were able to schedule every game last year and get them all played in a year where a lot of leagues did not end up getting a full season in, like, no one's talking about Roger Goodell's record with concussions anymore or player safety. They're mad at him for other stuff now. But, like, that to him was, like, thank God that people are starting to forget all the bad stuff that I've done in the past, like ignoring certain lawsuits and basically cheaping out on the players when it comes to safety. I might be in the minority on this one, but I kind of miss jacked up. Now, you could bring it back as long as all the hits were legal, but I miss seeing, like, the hardest hits every week. Like, Sean Taylor would always have 3 out of 5 of the hits on jacked up. I understand why they can't do it anymore. And when you say, like, football follies, those videos that they used to do, like the bloopers that the NFL would put out every year, if you go back and you watch those VHS tapes, I'd say, like, 90% of the football follies were it was just a guy getting concussed, trying to walk off the field and falling down, and they put, like, a slide whistle over it. It's like, it's ridiculous to see how far we've come.
Yeah, they can't do it because the legality and then
totally
people will come back on them, so they have to stay away from it. But you're right, they were fun.
Speaking of player safety, Goodell, the NFL yesterday come out with the pretty much the hammer on trying to force players to get vaccinated, saying that there'll be no reschedules due to COVID outbreaks among non-vaccinated players, and you have to forfeit the game, and you don't get paid, and the other team doesn't get paid. What was your reaction to such a strong stance from the league?
You asking me that question is a violation of my HIPAA rights, JP. So
sorry,
I don't think I have to address that. But if I'm going to, I would say that it's all about money at this point. Like, it's a discussion that not a lot of people have had when it comes to anything related to COVID and businesses and mask mandates and things like that. Everyone's talking about, like, their constitution and liberty and stuff like that and the science of everything. I think it's a lot less about that. It's more about protecting yourself from potential lawsuits down the line. We live in the most litigious society in the history of the world right now where you can get sued for tripping on a sidewalk, walking outside, right? So imagine if somebody goes to an NFL game and let's say it's an NFL player. They go to work. And halfway through the season, they come down with COVID. They get diagnosed with one of the heart inflammation issues, and they are unable to get another contract after that, or a contract that is commensurate with their ability and what they believe that they should have gotten because they've been flagged for having a medical issue. The first thing that person is going to do is thinking about suing the team for not putting in place the correct safety measures to keep them safe during a global pandemic. And honestly, they probably have a pretty good case. If other teams and other businesses are going out of their way to, like, work with medical professionals and figure out what the safest way to treat your employees is, and the NFL doesn't do that, that leaves them open for a huge lawsuit that not only that team in particular, but the NFL as a whole. So, like, I don't know why more people aren't talking about this, but it's a giant liability issue that, you know, fans, players, everybody has. Anytime that you go into a place of work or anytime you go into a giant event like an NFL game. So that's why everybody's being super, super cautious about this. And what the owners are also looking at right now is they're like, hey, we lost some money last year. Uh-huh. And if there's one thing I know about billionaires is that billionaires don't like losing money. They're billionaires for a reason. They will go out of their way and inconvenience everybody else on the planet as long as it means that they keep that, what, extra third comma in their bank account. So I think what the owners are doing is they're just saying, you know what, we're going to play games this year, and we're going to put all the pressure that we can legally put on our players to get vaccinated, not only to protect us against lawsuits, but also because I really don't want to have to forfeit a home game and all those ticket sales. So I think that's what it all comes out. I don't think that Roger Goodell is like he's not out there like staying up at night worrying about a player getting sick and then going home and transmitting an illness to his family, because Goodell doesn't care about player safety, but he does care about making Jerry Jones mad. He does care about making Robert Kraft angry. So I think that's what we're looking at here.
I don't think they thought this out. I mean, I'm going to give you a scenario. Washington shows up to play a team. Okay. There's a player on that other team that's not vaccinated that's tested positive for COVID. Okay, so they got a few people on his team have to be because of contact tracing. Washington has nobody on their team at all that's tested positive. You're going to tell me they forfeit that game, and that Washington team that has nobody testing positive, they forfeit their checks because the game is gone? That's a lawsuit in itself.
Yes, that's a good point. I don't know how that works.
They said that the people on that team and the other team don't get paid the game check.
Yeah, so I don't know about that. That doesn't seem fair at all. But so you're telling me that like both teams that would have
if they forfeit a game, both teams canceled, don't get paid.
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible to like contractually. It feels like that's a field day for a lawyer. That's a good question for Florio. I'm sure he's got some takes ready to go off on that one. I don't know what to do, but I would not be happy.
Yeah, no, it's interesting.
So when they threw that out there, I understand their point and their positioning, because if it's something you can get done that's going to make things better and make it, I understand it. But when I listened to Zeke Elliott earlier saying, can't force a guy to do something with his body, that's also true. But it should be a point where the league can make rules that, okay, you're not vaccinated, this is what happens. But you can't jeopardize my money because somebody else did not get done if you didn't put a thing in place where you allowed him to come to work.
I'm still curious where the union is on all this, where the PA is.
I don't know. They seem to be out of whack at this point.
PFT, last one, just because it's something that really interests me, just watching it all unfold. I know you used to live in Austin. What do you think about Texas and Oklahoma trying to join the SEC?
I mean, this is so Texas it hurts. This is Texas 101. When I was there, they were talking about going to the Pac-12. Texas always thinks that they are the cutest girl in every single room that they're ever in, and they think that they can boss everybody around. And a lot of times, you know what? They're right. They can. It's funny sometimes when they have been, you know, relatively inept as far as Texas standards go at the on the field product, but they're still flexing their muscles like they're perennial national championship contenders, because they know that they've got the Longhorn Network. They know that they've got, you know, a lot more money coming in. They know that they can essentially fund the Big 12 between them and Oklahoma. Once they leave, that town is going to crap, right? Like they're the big revenue drivers in the Big 12, and they know that they can just threaten to leave, and they can either get major concessions from the other player or the other teams in the Big Ten to make them stay, or they can go wherever they want because they can bring in a lot of money for any other conferences. So Texas, they're very needy, and I would just like caution the SEC that Texas is going to come into your conference, and then in about 5-10 years, Texas is going to be complaining about how come they're not getting the most shine or everything stacked against them. They'll do the exact same thing in 5 or 10 years. I'm telling you, this is how they operate. This is how they think down in Austin at that university. But it's obviously going to happen, I think. They can pretty much bully their way around. They'll get into the SEC unless – here's what could kind of like stamp it out a little bit. Texas A&M obviously does not want them in the SEC. They don't want to compete for in-state recruits against Texas again. I know that Missouri does not want Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. And then there would be two other schools that could vote against them. One might be Vanderbilt, because Vanderbilt's got more money than they know what to do with. So they don't really need the money that Texas is going to be bringing into the conference. And even if Vanderbilt had more money, like what are they going to go spend on nicer facilities for their football team? Absolutely not. No, that's not Vanderbilt's way. So if you get those three schools that are voting no against them joining, then that means all it would take would be one more school to vote no. And at that point, you're going to have a handful of schools in the SEC thinking, you know what, why don't I just posture like I'm going to vote no and see if I can get any concessions, kind of like in Congress. Smart. If there's like there's 59 people that are considering voting for something, and then that 60th person, you'll get like three people. Like, it's usually that senator from Maine.
They get like a bridge West built or something.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, tell you what, build me six highways in my backyard, and then I'll vote yes. So you're gonna have Dan Mullen, like, hey, I need you to give me enough money to make a brand new Tim Tebow themed workout facility in my backyard, and then you'll get all these different coaches and athletic directors trying to squeeze a little bit out for themselves. So if Vanderbilt or another school becomes the third, then watch out, because there might be somebody else that tries to stand up and act like they're going to vote no. But at this point, I think Texas can pretty much call their shot, and they're trying to get ahead of the major realignment that's going to be coming down the pipe in the next 5 years. But I'm just saying, like, be careful what you wish for when you get Texas into your conference, because they're going to act like they're independent, even though they're part of your group. So
yeah,
that's my 2 cents on Texas.
PFT, thank you as always for the time, man. I loved the Space Jam review. I hope you enjoy your weekend. I hope my fingers are crossed that perhaps we see you in Richmond.
I think I can report at this point that I will be down in the Washington, D.C. area this third week of August.
All right. We'll come in studio if you can. If you want.
Yeah, we'll be down and go to Washington football team training camp, hopefully interviewing a couple players for that team. And if we have time, we'll stop by.
All right. Awesome. We'll have a pool party at B. Mitchell's house. Thank you for the time, buddy.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
Love it. See you guys.
All right. That was PFT commenter at 11:45. Sam Fortier, Washington Post reporter, covers the Washington football team, will join the program. Go nowhere.
What's up, everybody? It's Brian Mitchell here, and you heard me and JP talking about Paul Henry's window installation and how we've been enjoying working with them. Listen, Paul is an absolutely great dude. He came into the house. He talked to us. Didn't try to force anybody to do anything, and the price was so good that you wanted to work with him. The thing I love about Paul and his family, because it's a family-owned business, is that they come in and they treat you just like you are a part of their family. Paul's son, his brother, and a family friend came over. They installed my windows. They were there for 3 days like they said they would be, and everything was just like it was when they left, although the windows were different. I didn't have to worry about the air conditioning unit running overtime and different things of that nature. And when I got my utility bill, it dropped. Because the air conditioning unit was not working overtime. But right now, we have a special going on this month where you can receive 10% off Softlight windows and Marvin windows with a 5-window minimum and 10% off Provia doors. And if you mention my name, Brian Mitchell, you're going to receive an extra 5% off of your windows. That's 15% off your windows off an already low price. And you're going to have a great guy in Paul and his company, his family, coming over to take care of you. So contact Paul Henry's Window Installation right now at 540-359-6842 or go on online at paulhenryswindows.com. Paul Henry's Windows, your clear home improvement choice.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Before the Cleveland Guardians threw our whole day into a tizzy.
Threw a monkey wrench in our plan.
We had a big plan today. We had a lot planned.
Yes.
Mullins planned stuff. Cody Betts had a really good topic of discussion.
Mullins is chewing a lot of gum today, I'm noticing.
What's that about, Mullins?
You normally don't have that gum.
Not a big gum guy.
He is working it, though.
I found a large bag of Mentos gum. And so I brought some with me today, and I just feel compelled to chew it.
I've been looking over it. I'm like, man, you're just getting it on, man. I thought you would like Tiger with the CBD gum.
I moved it to like a smaller bag.
I'd like some CBD gum. That looks like illicit drugs.
It kind of does.
Like just a weird bag full of chewable.
How do you know that the illicit looks like drugs come in that type of bag?
Edibles. That's what it looks like. It's like weed edibles. I don't even know that that's illicit. Because I know about lots of things. I read encyclopedias.
He uses a website. What you actually do is you buy a picture and they just give you a free gift.
Encyclopedias have nothing about a damn edible, believe me.
I bet new encyclopedias do.
What one? The new ones? They don't have new ones.
Cody Betts had a really good tweet this morning, which led me down this rabbit hole. When was the last time you slept, Cody?
Today's Friday. I went to bed Wednesday night. I didn't sleep Thursday into Friday.
So you woke up Thursday morning.
So last
morning.
Night you didn't sleep.
Correct. I spent the night in the casino.
Wait.
You're a degenerate, dude. What's the number? 1-800-GAMBLER?
Yes, 1-800-GAMBLER.
What did you do last? Like, what was the impetus to make you stay up last night? Were you on a blackjack heater?
No, I had to work the junkies this morning, so I had to wake up at 4 a.m. I got done with class at 11. So I was like, okay, after that, I shower, I eat, I whatever, and go lay down. It's already midnight. What's 4 hours of sleep? Let me go try to go play some poker. And I sat down and just played poker and then came over here at 4:30, 5 o'clock and started my day.
Run that back for me one time.
You can't run that hard that long, bro. It's going to fizzle out real quick.
Well, yeah, that's fine. I'll crash tonight or later this evening.
Just don't crash while you're driving home.
He did say he needed to go get some sleep. What? You were doing homework till like midnight?
No, I had class till 11. And then I was like,
but what kind of classes? Oh, they're in L.A.?
The teachers have, for some reason, been on the West Coast. I don't know why. It's an East Coast school. But it ends at 11. I was like, well, if I go lay down in bed, it's going to be midnight before I fall asleep. And then I went to the casino.
Just hang on. So what for the junkies, you have to get in here, what, at 5:30 or something?
No, 5.
So you're leaving your house at 4:15, 4:30?
Yeah, 4:30. So I wake up at 4.
So 4 hours of sleep. Instead, you go to MGM or you go to Charlestown?
I went to MGM to play some poker.
What's the poker room like at midnight on a Thursday?
About 20 plus tables.
20 full?
Yeah, full tables of 8 people.
20 full tables degenerates.
Yeah.
Damn. I guess Thursday night's kind of a night, though.
$300 high hands every hour, and then the bad beat jackpots over $100,000. My man Adam hooked me up, gave me a $50 comp to get any food I wanted.
Wow, look at Cody getting big time.
So if you got a comp, it means you were winning.
No, he did it because I tweet about MGM all the time. He knows me from Cakes. I'm always in the Cakes Classic. I spent a lot of money
MGM
there.
MGM National Harbor tweeted out a picture of Cody at, what time is this photo? 12:43 a.m. saying, who needs sleep? Not this guy, Cody Shook.
You can tell. Like, you look at that picture and you say, yeah, that kid needs some sleep.
You look a little cracked out.
And that was literally 3 seconds after I just lost $90 in one hand.
How'd you do cash-wise?
I made $4. And then I tipped the lady that gave me my money, so I made $3.
You tipped her a dollar?
Yeah, why not?
Just give her all $4, dude.
Usually, you don't tip those people at all, so she should be happy.
Okay.
All right.
I think you need some sleep, bud.
Where's the pitch?
I will get some sleep later.
He retweeted it. I still don't follow Cody, by the way.
That's fine.
I follow him.
Thanks, B.
What happened today? So Cody had a good topic before the Guardians existed. He said, as a Washington sports fan, who would you want to keep the most? Soto, Ovi, Chase Young, Bradley Beal.
Ooh.
And I think Cody was trying to get Twitter clout because he sent me the tweet. I retweeted it. You now have over 2,000 votes in your poll.
Yeah, in 12 hours, I got 72 votes. The JP effect. Now it's over 2,000.
So, who's your answer, B? Who would you want to keep the most? Soto, Ovi, Chase Young, Bradley Beal?
Man. See, I'm the football guy, so I'm going to probably go Chase, and then I'll go Soto, and then basketball leave all time. I'll go Ovi, then Brad.
So, it's tough because it's...
The two guys I'm naming are young. Ovi and Brad are older. I'm going with the younger guys first.
So
as much as I love him.
I think it's Chase Young because this city is so football dominant and he can possibly be the most dominant player defensively in the league. But I think Soto, a really great hitter like that, he can have 15 years of greatness.
True.
16 years of greatness.
But Chase I'll take 12 years of spectacular from a football player.
Okay. I think the debate is Young or Soto, but then from a emotional, from a nostalgic point of view.
If we had different reasons why.
Obi can't go anywhere.
We had different reasons why. We can probably put all of them first.
I think Beal is.
Everybody first. Brad wouldn't go first before all those guys.
There's no scenario.
Unless you're just a straight basketball fan.
Right.
And you don't like the other sports.
Or you're his wife. Or like his mom.
I mean, they're going to go wherever he goes.
Right. Yeah, they don't.
So they're not worried.
And, like, the NBA is just, there's so much turnover. You know, I mean, LeBron's on his fourth team, I guess third team with two stops in Cleveland.
Yeah, but Brad's been here his whole career.
Right. And now I think if they had won more, it would matter more. I think Soto has already won a World Series. Obi won a cup. Chase Young looks to be a star, and maybe they could get this thing rebuilt. It's an interesting question. Now, as for the poll, 2,000 votes, Chase Young is 61% of the votes.
Yeah.
Then Soto at 22%, Ovi at about 15%, and Bradley Beal got 2.5%.
It went exactly how I thought it would go.
Yeah, I agree.
And the thing of it, listen, man, there are way more football fans in this town than baseball fans, than hockey fans, than Wizards fans. I'm not going to say basketball because there's a lot of basketball fans, but Wizards fans, basically.
And I think basketball, particularly the NBA, might be the most, I am a LeBron fan, I'm a Giannis fan, I'm a D-Wade fan, rather than like, oh, I'm a Wizards fan. I think people really identify with players more than, maybe not more than teams, but it's a significant portion of NBA fans that are just fans of the sport and of players than necessarily a team. All right, coming up next, Sam Fortier, Washington Post, will join us. We'll ask him about the Guardians and what he's looking forward to at training camp starts next week. Get it going, Landfill. It's Vodka Red Bull Friday, buddy. Let's go. Let's go to the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Right now, we're going to talk to our friend Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. You can follow him on Twitter at Sam4TR. Sam, you know Beamish is going to ask you, do you want to drop any taxidermist lyricists to start things off?
I'm going to need a second to recover from shots. I haven't heard that song in at least a year.
Vodka Rebel Friday, goodness. Man. You got to be ready.
I do have one, actually, JP. And I will say, I think I was on with you about a month ago, and I had a verse ready, and you didn't ask. So this might be a little dated, but I got one for you.
All right,
let's
we're ready.
Go with it.
So this was from when Kevin Herter was cooking with the Atlanta Hawks. And the verse is, don't lose focus when Herter has the ball. He'll put up more points than the deer on my wall.
Strong. Strong. Well done.
Hey, man, you should stop putting this stuff out, man, on Twitter now. Seriously.
Actually, if I keep coming on here, I'll have enough for a whole single.
Dude, now you're talking. We'll get you in touch with Rosenberg. The Guardians thing has kind of taken over the day for us. Just that Cleveland, in 1 year, was able to get a new team name announced, and they'll switch at the end of the season. You think Washington's taking too long with this name stuff?
I do think there's some element of that, but I think the counter argument is, hey, you know, they've been going through all this stuff with the investigation, with Dan, with all these revelations coming out. Like, you know, the on-field play hasn't been great, so just take that time and introduce it when they're on an upswing, when hopefully, you know, I'm sure they're thinking, hey, we'll have a good year this year. We'll go into it and have a fresh slate. But I do think, you know, when you think about the Guardians and kind of how quickly that came together, how it feels like pretty quickly, I do think it's a fair thing to say, hey, maybe this is dragging on a little bit. Maybe there's too many consulting firms.
But yeah, you know, when you start, I want to get from you. You know, you were up there in what, Syracuse, okay? You all are called the Orange Men. You fell in love with that name because they win, not necessarily just because it's the name. You know what I'm saying? Think about it. If you just walk up and you don't have no affiliation with Syracuse before, and someone say, "Oh man, that team mascot is the Orange Men." Without that connection, it wouldn't be spectacular, would it?
But they also just made him the Orange. They didn't deviate too far.
I'm just saying the Orange Men, the Orange. What's the difference? I'm talking about how people try to make too much out of a name without putting the history behind it. The history makes it. It's not just the name.
It's true.
Right. I think winning is the solve here for everything. You know, I think Washington football team is the perfect example. You know, haha, jokes about the football team, then they go to the playoffs and people give the Bucks a run and people stop joking about it and people start embracing it.
Yeah, exactly. It's fair. Let's get back to the football field because we're going to be standing on the side of it next week in Richmond at training camp. What are you looking forward to watching the most? What are kind of some of your biggest questions? And we all know the quarterback question, right? Like that's the biggest one. So maybe looking there and then looking beyond there.
Yeah, I think that, to me, I still think it's Ryan Fitzpatrick's job to lose at quarterback. But the biggest question that I'm curious about, I think the number one is what the offense looks like. Obviously, Scott Turner couldn't, you know, I think have his full offense with the personnel last year. I'm really curious. I think one telling thing is going to be where does Curtis Samuel, if he's on the field, obviously he wasn't on the field for minicamp, but if he is, where does he line up? Are they going to use him outside as Norv Turner did in Carolina in 2018-19, or is he going to be in the slot as he had a career year there last year? So I'm kind of curious about that. I'm curious about what they do at safety, how limited or full go Landon Collins might be. So those are, I think, the initial first blush questions that I'll be looking at when camp starts.
You say Scott couldn't put his whole offense in, which I don't understand that. I mean, you can have, no matter what players you have, you can put the whole offense in. What do we feel Scott, see, we talk a lot about the players. I feel Scott has to graduate and take a major step in play calling to change this thing up because he has a lot more weapons now and he has to try to get more people involved and keep them satisfied, which is a major feat for offensive coordinator.
Right. And maybe, you know, saying the full offense in terms of play calling or the plays at his disposal isn't the right way to phrase it. Maybe I was more thinking, you know, he couldn't really open it up and do what he wanted to do, not only because of quarterback instability, but when you think about the talent he had at wide receiver and you know, the fact that they didn't really have someone behind Logan Thomas as a consistent pass catcher, I think those are the things where I think the front office has given Scott Turner almost everything he needs at this point. I mean, you go out and get a deep threat like De'Ami Brown, you go out and get Curtis Samuel, you know, all these different pieces. To me, this is a really big year for Scott Turner to kind of open up the playbook and see what he can do with this offense.
I did want to ask you, Sam, I mean, there's a lot of questions on the offensive line. You're going to have, you know, two new tackles, a guard that used to be here but under a different staff. There's a lot of changes on that O-line and an O-line that performed fairly well last season. I know you did a deep dive on Sam Cosmi, the rookie tackle from Texas. What do you think he's going to be able to do, and kind of what have you learned about him?
Yeah, the biggest question for him is how quickly can he get his technique solid and consistent? Because when you look at him, he is an athletic marvel, basically. If you look at his, you know, all those combine measurements, he's off the charts, 90 percentile or higher. There's this, like, basically one metric that combines all of them, and he scored 9.99 out of 10, the second highest offensive lineman since, like, 1987. So he can move. He's explosive. He's athletic. There's no questions about that. But Texas played a simpler blocking scheme. So basically with John Matsko, you know, the offensive line coach, how quickly can you get the two-hand punch down? How quickly can you start creating those angles and you know, operating in zone scheme? And I know those are things that Sam Cosmi has worked on, but it's just how quickly can you put that together? And I think that's going to determine his ceiling for this camp as he competes with Cornelius Lucas at right tackle.
We talk a lot about Antonio Gibson and how he's going to be implemented into the offense. But my concern is, who's going to be the guy backing up Antonio Gibson? Because I just feel in the NFL, you got to have two running backs that can virtually do some of the same things, not just one guy is going to run and one guy is going to pass. That has changed now because you have to keep the defense off balance. When you start looking, I know what McKissick can do, but who's the guy who can do both things like Gibson?
Yeah, I think J.D. McKissick is probably still that guy, but I think you bring up an interesting point about the third running back battle, and I think that's really between Peyton Barber and Jarrett Patterson. And I know Ron called Jarrett Patterson a Darren Sproles type. I don't know if he would have more success in those, you know, stuffed box third and short situations that Peyton Barber excels at, that obviously coaches Ron Rivera, Scott Turner, you know, praise quite often. So to me, I think that's one of the more interesting battles of camp as well, is Jarrett Patterson versus Peyton Barber. And I think, you know, whomever comes out ahead, that's going to be the guy, you know, either behind McKissick or behind Gibson in certain situations.
It's interesting. I had an interview with Jarrett Patterson yesterday and kind of asked him that specifically, if he could fill that role. We're going to play some of that audio a little later today. But watching that running back battle shake out is going to be something. I'm also not counting out Lamar Miller. He's the most accomplished running back on this Washington roster. It's just he's had injuries and hasn't really been able to produce in a number of years. But that would be a hell of a comeback story if he can go. One of a lot of things that are going to be really, really interesting to watch next week when we get to Richmond. Sam, I can't wait to see you down there, buddy. Thank you very much for the time today.
I appreciate you,
buddy. Of course. Thanks, guys.
All right. We might have to get Sam to join us live next week in Richmond and drop some bars for us on the spot.
Yeah, we're going to need about at least a minute.
So I want to hear from some folks around the NFL, not necessarily strictly in Washington, their feelings about the new forfeit rules put in place by the NFL as it relates to COVID. We're going to do that next, 106.7 The Fan.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.